Hey everyone, I hope you're all doing great today. Make sure you check out my Instagram at Joe the Insomniac and the podcast in the description. And remember, I've got a new email now, so if you have any submissions or anything you want to send me, make sure you send it to the new one in the description. I just wanted to share this before the story starts, so I think it's very important to try and appreciate and enjoy the moment. I understand if you have anxiety and other issues, it can make it quite difficult, but trust me, if you don't take moments to appreciate what's around you, you never will. So I think this is something that's really important to do. Remember too, with your mental health, it's okay to have bad days and dark days. It happens sometimes. It happens to me too. You just have to be consistent. Make sure you do the things that you know are going to make you get better consistently, and accept there's going to be some hard days with it. So I hope that helps everyone, and I hope you enjoyed the story. Take care, I'll speak to you all soon. Before I get into my story, I'd like to give a little background about my dog growing up. His name was Fonzie because he had long black hair with a white patch on his chest. Growing up, he was my best friend and protector, a mixture of Chow and German Shepherd. And if you've ever met a Chow, I'm sure you're aware that once they're imprinted on you, they won't accept anybody but you as their true protector, and they love you. So for my story, when I was 8, we lived in the foothills of Mount Baker, in a not so populated area. One evening, around dusk outside my house, I'm up to my usual shenanigans with my doggy. He would sit behind me as I shot my BB gun at targets I'd set up in a tree line, when all of a sudden, he moved in front of me and starts growling, which only ever happened a few times when he felt I was in true danger, and he got about 20 feet between me and the tree line. I then hear a very loud and deep, almost clicking sound from the trees. Limbs were breaking and you can actually hear the ground pounding. We were both terrified. My dog started whimpering, which is something he never done before, and we ran into the house. I looked out the window to see whatever it was come out of the woods, but nothing emerged. I told my dad about it, but he didn't believe me, jokingly saying it was probably Bigfoot, but I've never heard of any stories of one here. Black bears tend to stay away from loud dogs, and it was way too loud to be a cougar. So this encounter happened many years ago when I was very young. It was 2001 or 2. I was 11 or 12 at the time. So my uncle was interested in purchasing some land near Red Oak, Oklahoma. I don't know exactly where, but it was several acres in a very remote area. My father, mother, and myself decided to accompany him one Saturday to scope out the property. From our home, it was a little more than a 3-hour drive, but we all loved riding in the car, so while it was not going to be the most eventful road trip that we're gonna go on, it was fine just to get out. Upon arrival, I remembered being very underwhelmed by the place. No houses anywhere nearby, and hardly even any signs of life apart from a few birds, and the wooded area wasn't exactly what I'd call picturesque. Still, we park our car off the road and go exploring the woods a little. My uncle was talking about buying this land for hunting, which isn't really my cup of tea, as we walk through the woods. Now, it's a very nice day, but something feels off. Everyone in the group remarks about the strange feeling, but my dad and uncle laugh at us. My mum still has goosebumps and keeps looking over her shoulder, which actually puts me on edge too. She was very insistent that it was weird and she wants to leave, saying that it felt like she's being watched. After a bit of hiking, I noticed that there was a small red building. I've never seen bigger storage sheds in the suburbs, but it looks very well built. My uncle said there's nothing about it on the listing. We have a look. The door's open, and inside were open cans of food, an old blanket and stuff like that, and it smells bad. Following the discovery, we all agree it would be best to go back to the car, and if there was some crazy hermit living in the woods, we don't want to be around him, and we don't want him to find us. We had actually walked for a while now past a pretty secluded area, and we aren't exactly sure which direction is the correct one. The eerie feeling really ramped up, and we were all on edge. We ended up trekking another mile before finally finding the road. We end up going further down from where we had parked the car, but at least we could just follow the road now. Walking along the road, we come across a truly unsettling sight. Right in the middle of the asphalt was a dark grey cat, on fire. I have no idea why a cat was in the middle of the road on fire. Obviously it just happened, nobody's in sight. Naturally, we ran the rest of the way to the car. There was a huge scratch and paint all down the side of the hood to the trunk. Thankfully, the damage was only damage that wasn't bad enough to stop the car from working. My heart sped off as the car did. Needless to say, my uncle didn't go there and buy the land. And I'll always remember this terrifying encounter, like, over time I pushed it to the back of my mind. But it just became one of them odd moments that you can't believe was actually real. I just can't believe this actually happened. Love the chance to get out into national forests and parks. I really like jogging. I find a true tranquility when I'm going through them with nothing but the cool summer's air with me. I would do it in winters too, but it was a lot worse because obviously the leaves were very slippery and you wouldn't always see people about outside of the occasional park ranger. But this story took place on one summer's evening. I was feeling really good. I made a playlist and was listening to some podcasts while I was jogging. I set out at about 9 p.m, so it was still kind of light outside. As I was jogging, I couldn't help become more and more aware of how dark it seemed to be getting, quick, and I mean almost too quick. I'd gone on my phone for literally less than 5 minutes, and when I looked up, it got noticeably darker, not just in the sense of my eyes adjusting. I mean, it was a weird feeling, and I feel like somebody's watching me. I decide just to try and walk back because I'm getting really tired now, which is another strange thing. I've come to realize it might have been my body's response to fear, but I felt drained and really tired in a way that I've never felt it before. I decide to press on regardless, cycle through my songs and feel good again. Now as I'm walking, I realise that there's a mist that's setting over the park. Now this is something that I've never experienced before. Well, I have, just not in the summertime, so it's something that I found very strange. I start to hear interference with my headphones too, and think it might be because of the moisture from the fog and take them off. That's when I realise that I can hear a hissing sound. It's not a normal sound that you would hear from electric interference, it's almost like an animal making it, but I've never heard it before, and my heart drops. The feeling of being watched overpowers me now. I feel darkness like I've never felt before, like true evil's around. I think maybe there's a park ranger there with his radio messing up. I call out, but I don't hear anyone. I suddenly think it is a bad idea to call out, and I begin jogging. As I start jogging, I hear a crash behind me. I turn to look, and there's a very tall, dark figure just off beside a tree. Now what terrifies me is that there's a tree that's been knocked over that was standing before. I know for a fact that it's either a 1 in a billion chance it fell then and none of the other trees did, or something menacing's following me. Now this thing has to be at least 6'2", and has long arms. It sounds like it's describing exactly me so far. I can't see any eyes, but I can tell that this thing's facing directly towards me. I wipe my eyes, and it doesn't move. I say, "Hey, if this is a ranger, you need to stop because I'm scared now." And I'm met with silence. It slowly moves behind the tree. I've seen enough now. I can't deal with this. I go into a fight or flight state and I'm literally frozen for a second. I tell myself, no, I'm not going out like this, and I start sprinting as quick as I can. The whole time I'm running, I can hear this thing chasing just behind me. I get to the car park and there's no other cars there, so it's me alone now. Great. So if this thing attacks me, I'm screwed. I jump into my truck and drive as quick as I possibly can, getting out of the wooded area. Now the craziest thing is, this thing's still following me. I can hear things breaking behind me, like a very tall and very heavy things chasing me through the woods. I'm literally screaming and praying for God to help me out in this moment. I can just about see him in my mirrors, but it's very foggy at the time. I have to slam on the brakes at one point too, because I nearly hit a tree because how dense the fog had become. I continue driving and eventually make it back onto the main road. I'm literally crying the entire time. I end up going to a ranger station and explaining what I saw, and they say I'm not the only one that's reported something similar. People have been reporting it as a bear, but it's not possible because there's no bears in this specific area. I have no idea what it was, and nor do the park rangers, but they say I wasn't the only one who had that reaction. And there was a strange smell that accompanied that thing. I didn't get that close to find out, but everyone described it exactly the same as me. They're already doing patrols trying to find that thing, but they never found it. It still shakes me to my core thinking about it to this day. So this didn't happen to me, but I live in the area where it took place. My friend and I were discussing the scariest things that we've seen in the woods, and he told me a story that happened to his friend. So this guy was with five of his friends, and were spending a few days in a cabin hunting and trapping. They were not drunk, but had a few beers to unwind one night, so one of them goes out to the outhouse to use the bathroom. He can hear some faint beating sounds in the distance, like a low drum. So he finishes in the outhouse and goes into the cabin to tell his friends to come and check out the sound. So they all grab their rifles and walk out the ridge of their cabin, down the hollowway behind it and up the other side. It's a pretty rocky area, so the sound travels far. They could tell that it's just over the hill, so five of them spread out about 50 feet and walk up to the top. They can't see completely over there because there's large bushes around them. Now, they just sneak down and try and see what it is. One of them goes over there, and he stands there and watches for about 30 seconds to a minute, before telling his friends that they have to run as quick as they can, and saying what he saw was evil and they need to get out of there now. He said all he could see was a bunch of naked people dancing around a fire pit with some kind of pentagram on the floor. He never told them about everything he saw. He just said he was too scared ever to go back in the woods again or near that area. I was born and raised in Charlotte, NC, and still live on the east side. There's a local public park near my parents' house called McAlpine Creek, which was mainly a large cross-country trail stretching miles across the East Charlotte. The park is enveloped by hundreds of acres of dense forest and underdeveloped land that is discreetly placed amidst busy streets and highways. You almost don't realize it because of the stretches of infrastructure around it. There's a myth and folklore tale about a devil church or satanic ritual area deep within that park. There's a few videos of people trying to find it. Now, in my senior year of high school, after searching around the internet, I heard about where this is supposed to be and decided I want to find it. So my girlfriend and I at the time decided to try and find it on the road that leads into the church. We end up driving down miles of winding roads behind a CarMax that borders the dense woods of the park where a small neighborhood of sorts is. I think I got in the two street names wrong, but they're very close to the spot. Now, cautiously driving down these quiet and dark roads, we found a seemingly abandoned dirt track offshooting from the paved road. Keep in mind that there's almost no streetlights anywhere. We're driving about another 2 or 3 minutes, and there had been a pickup truck behind us for maybe 50 feet or so. Upon seeing the dirt track and everything else around, our interest had peaked. We stopped the car to discuss what we want to do. We began to slowly pull onto the dirt track. Simultaneously, the pickup truck ahead abruptly stops and stays in place. We notice this, having pulled finally into the dirt road at this point. We're immediately frozen in panic. The driver of the truck quickly puts their car into reverse and began to immediately back up towards us at max speed. I throw my car into reverse and panic in an attempt to back away from where we come from. I was able to get turned around and drive back into the woods fairly quickly. The driver's accelerating at us at full speed now, and I have to floor it to try and get out of there. We literally never look back. We never ended up finding the church and have no idea who was following us in the woods that day. I'm not sure if this is the right place for this, but when I went to high school in a small Mesota town, mostly farmland intersected by wooded areas, and of course dozens of small lakes, one side of our neighborhood was bordered by a relatively large marshland that you could access by a slope that wound down a trail. This trail curves through the marsh into a big patch of woods, about 3/4 of a mile away. In the fall or spring, after heavy rain, a fog would often settle over the marshes, as it was much lower than the surrounding area. It really looks like something out of a Stephen King novel. After one of these rains, my brother and I, he's probably about 13 and I was 16 at the time, decide it's a great idea to explore the woods in the fog. Although the sun was setting fast, we knew that we could make it into the woods in about 10 minutes if we left immediately. We grabbed a couple of flashlights, knowing that it would get dark by the time we got home, and we head for the trail. Once we're in the trail and moving, it hit us just how thick the fog is. We'd only been walking for about a minute or two, but we have absolutely no visibility behind us, and 5 to 10 feet max in front of us. So we continue walking for a few more minutes, saying about now we come up to a curve in the trail. This curve signaled that we're only about 100 yards from the entrance of the woods. At this point, there's a small lake on the left side of the trail and some marshland further to the right. Now we began walking past the lake when we hear a splash. Definitely much bigger than a fish jumping, almost like a person done it. It's a really strange sound. Now we couldn't have been up there for more than 15 seconds when we heard cracking and shuffling in the brush up ahead to our left. We stopped dead in our tracks and waited. At the end of our eyesight, which could only have been about 10 feet, a figure steps out from the brush bordering the fog. Now, it's so thick that we can't make out details, but he must have been about 6'4" and very broad-shouldered. As this figure made its way into the middle of the trail, my brother gasped and stopped. Its head shot over and looks right at us. It felt like it must have been an eternity, but it couldn't have been more than a few seconds. I felt true terror in that moment that I've never felt before. I began to take a small step backwards, and suddenly, the figure took over into the marshland running again. There were no houses or buildings or anything for miles in the direction that we ran. We kept on sprinting until we got back home. We never went back to that area again. I grew up in the Midwest, US. When I was a senior in high school, I was out for a hike at a local trail in the National Forest. This is a good 20 miles from town, way out in the sticks. It's a box canyon, so you start at the rim and hike down into the canyon. It was autumn and late afternoon when I pulled into the empty parking area, but there's plenty of lights around. But by the time I got to the bottom, the sun's pretty low. I was down in the canyon and get the feeling that something isn't quite right. I start looking behind me as I walk every few steps. I can't shake this feeling. Finally, on one of these backward glances, I spotted a man peeking out from behind a tree. Not far at all, maybe 100 feet away. It was the weirdest thing to catch somebody watching me. He knew I'd seen him and stepped out saying, "I'm not looking to scare you." He's a big adult male, very old looking, and I'm a scrawny 16-year-old kid, and we're on a trail in the public park. There's no reason to hide like that. He seems alarmed that I've even seen him. The only reason he was out there is if he's weird. I mumble something about getting back to my car, and this horrifying grin comes across his face. He's just standing there staring at me. I'm running for a long time and I can still tell that he's watching me. And when I get back to the parking area, there's no cars other than mine, which added to the weirdness. I realized later that he must have been out there for some time because of the state of his clothes. It's interesting how when you get the sensation that you're being watched, it's normally true. I have no idea what his intentions were. I'm just really glad that I was aware of what was going on and he didn't spring up on me, because I don't know what he was capable of. I went to a summer camp in a rural part of New Jersey back in the mid-1990s. The camp was situated on a long, narrow man-made lake. One end of the lake was reserved for swimming, which we'd do as a group activity every day or so. The swimming area had one long dock stretching straight out onto the water. The two square floating docks further apart. One of the two floating docks is further away, and although I had spent a few summers at this camp, I'd never seen anybody use the second dock. One day on the group, a dozen 11-year-olds got to the bright idea that we're going to swim out to the faraway dock. I consider this to be a challenge. When we reached the dock, I noticed a strange-looking spider on the ladder that you had to climb up. I would have a heart attack. It was quite large in terms of overall footprint. Probably 3 inches from end to end. Nah, screw that. Spiders, of course, are normal critters in nature, but this one stood out as looking unusual. After the long swim, we took a few minutes to lie on the dock and rest in the sun. No way did they just go over that spider like that. It was relaxing and we were all having a good time. We started really messing around and decided to play around for a bit. We played a regular game where we shuffled towards one corner of the dock, making it sink. Oh god. As the corner of the dock starts to sink and fill with water, suddenly hundreds of giant spiders come, oh god, frantically crawling out from between the boards, swarming over around the feet of those who were still standing on the dry ground. This dock was theirs, apparently. We all began to scream immediately and jump up trying to get away, but the spiders are in the water too. I vividly remember the feeling of them clinging to my wet hair, as I began hopelessly trying to get them off. Adrenaline kicks in and we swim to the other side, that spider free. But this is a childhood trauma that lingers with me. I had not really been afraid of spiders before, but this is a turning point. The thought of us lying on the dock in the sun, unaware to how many of them were there, creeps me out to this day. That is literally hell on earth. I'm a child of the mountains, and my hometown was completely mountainous, so I spent most of my childhood running through the forests and stuff, and one event that happened when I was 10 remains unexplained. I was on top of the ridge, several hundreds of feet above my house, when I started hearing my biological father yelling. In a very redneck area, he had a very distinct voice with no accent, so it's not really possible to confuse him for anyone else. His voice was coming from the other side of the ridge, which is a bit weird in retrospect because nobody over that way actually lived in that area, and everyone avoided everyone in there. Even when hunting, we'd go around. The train was worse to deal with, but it's what we'd done. He starts calling my name, so I go down there. But the voice isn't getting any closer. I start feeling dread washing over me, and I suddenly remember my father's on a trip to Germany. I've never ran so fast. I didn't realize it until I got to the other side of the ridge, but the forest had been completely silent on the other side of the ridge, which never happens unless there's predators or the wind picks up. Normally, I'd think I was just getting closer to black bear territory, but the voice obviously makes it confusing. Unlike a number of stories like this I've heard over the years, the experience didn't really stop me from going into the woods. It just made me more curious. I've never had an explanation for it since, and it kind of worries me. The closest thing I've heard it could be is like a skinwalker, but I'm not sure. It may even be a person who is trying to stalk me in, but I guess I'll never know. Hey everyone. About 2 weeks ago, I had a really scary experience and my husband didn't believe me, but last night, he had a very similar experience and now, we're both wondering what we could have possibly seen. So our puppy was barking to go outside and use the bathroom. It's about 4 or 5 a.m. I took him out and stood on the steps of our deck because I didn't want to get my feet wet. My dog was using the bathroom when I looked up and I see something across the yard. It was slowly walking towards me, one step at a time. Its eyes were super reflective. I thought it was a deer, but its eyes were so tall and staring at me, and it wasn't running away. I hurried the dog up and we ran inside. I have reoccurring night terrors, so at first, my husband thinks it's just that, but I was crying and shaking and could barely be spoken to. He tells me it's probably a deer, but I wasn't convinced, and I refused to take the dog out after midnight again. As for my husband's experience, it was early in the morning, about 5 a.m. The dog was barking and he took him outside. Once again, my husband stood on the deck outside. He didn't have his glasses, but when he looks up, he saw something tall standing in the forest near our backyard. He said he saw it walking slowly, almost gliding. He said that the moment he made eye contact, his nose was bleeding. My husband is typically not prone to them either. He said he wanted to get a closer look but felt the need to go inside, almost like an instinct. My husband's a zookeeper. He's not really afraid of animals and can recognize many of them. I still have no idea what this is. We live in eastern PA. This happened around the 1900s, in the countryside of South Brazil. My grandmother's grandfather was coming home from a ball very late at night. He lived in a small farm, and so to come from the party place he had a long way to walk in the middle of nothing, with just trees and bushes. And well, you can imagine how the countryside of Brazil was, especially back then. He said that while he was walking, all of a sudden, he heard strange noises and lights. Scared, he hid in the bushes to see what was happening. He said there were very little men speaking in a foreign language. Behind him, there was two huge plates stacked on top of another, with lights all over them. He stayed hiding and praying until they left and ran for his life. My grandmother says that she's heard this story a few times in her youth from him, and the narrative always stayed the same with him praying after. Only after she married and moved to the big city and had children did she start to hear about these things being known as aliens and other things. Her grandfather at the time would have had no concept of aliens. After a heavy night of drinking and camping, we woke up and nobody wanted to make breakfast, so we decide to drive into town and find a diner. We're approaching where the dirt meets the pavement and come up on dozens of sheriffs backloading the road, two of which have rifles pointed towards us. We stop the truck about 40 feet from them and hear them yell over the intercom to stick our hands up now. They then instruct us to approach on foot with our hands in the air. They search my truck and find it full of loaded guns and beer. That's when they tell us that a Forest Service agent had been shot and killed nearby and eventually let us go, but tell us our camping gear is out of bounds until the murderer is found. We didn't want to leave our camping gear and go home, so we ended up at a nearby casino, continuing partying there. A few hours later, someone in the casino says there's loads of cops outside. We go outside and there must have been 100 sheriffs, local PD everywhere. Apparently, that same murderer had stopped at the casino gas station and an officer recognized him. Then Elio drew his gun, murderer went for his, and the Elio shot him dead. We went back to the camp and home the next day. I checked the newspaper articles and they made a map of where the murder happened, and it's only 200 yards away from our campsite. I have a friend who's a trail ranger. He's basically a ranger who can't get you in trouble. He told me about this time he was gathering illegally placed wildlife cameras and knocking them down and whatnot. The other ranger wasn't feeling well, so he said he was gonna head back, but it's a 1 hour ATV ride. My friend finished up the last one when he hears voices. He kept in mind that he's far off the beaten path. He calls out and no one replies. As it was getting dark, he starts to head back and found his ATV won't start. He then realizes that the batteries are not connected. He reconnects it and started to drive but isn't going fast. Less than half a mile later, the whole thing died. He radioed back saying, "Hey guys, someone picked me up." They said they would do it but are gonna take an hour. He said, "Can the other guy come back?" And he said no. So he settled down, made a small fire, but heard voices again. It's dark and he's angry. The voices sound like an argument now. Someone was angry, yelling at someone else who sounded scared. He called out and said, "Does anyone need help?" The voices don't care. He thinks they're less than 1,000 feet away. He radioed again, and they said they're having trouble finding what path he'd be on, and haven't left yet. He said to them just to get another ranger there. About 3 minutes go by, and the voices start again. He decides to walk there, hoping maybe there's some drunk people that have a map. He walks in their direction, but the voices seemed to be getting further away as he got closer. Finally, 20 minutes later, he gave up and walks back. He got a radio call, and they said the other guy was passed out, covered in vomit, and was taken to hospital. They don't know exactly where I come from still, because he crossed off everywhere that he went. Then the radio died, and the voices came back. Bored out of his mind, he decides to listen to what they're arguing about, and picks up on things like, "Well, it wasn't yours to take, and I knew you were gonna do this, you idiot, and I don't care." His guess is that two hunters are arguing over a kill. Then he heard something intelligible. Then silence. Bang. A gunshot. He doused his fire and hid. After that he heard nothing. Just his breathing for the next half hour until he saw ATV lights. He told the guy picking him up everything and they called back. They had people looking for 3 hours but found nothing. They came back the next day with police and dogs. After about an hour, a shallow grave was found and a man who'd been shot in the head was also found. Thing was, it was a skeleton who'd been there for years, so either the argument he heard was somehow from the past, or someone else got murdered recently when he was there. This happened while I was doing my army service in Switzerland. I'm not allowed to talk about exactly what we were doing there, but I'll try and keep this clear. My company has installed a huge antenna, and it has to be guarded day and night. So we're on a hill, away from a city near a massive forest. It's 1800 hours, and I just started my watch of 6 hours with another soldier. Everything's fine. We smoke cigarettes and keep ourselves occupied until our night watch ends. Then, we receive a call from our superior who said that one of the soldiers that's supposed to watch hasn't come out, and we have to stay for another 6 hours. So we tossed a coin to see who's gonna stay from midnight till 6 a.m. with temperatures of minus 20. And of course, I lost. And I had to wait for the other soldiers to come and join me for the rest of the night. They sent Jon Snow. No, I'm just kidding. They've only sent another soldier, but not the best because I knew he would sleep all night when I saw him climbing the hill with his sleeping bag. And that's what he did. He immediately took place in the tent and fell asleep. It was the coldest and longest night of my life. Nothing special about it. The weirdest part though happened in the morning. We receive another call from our superior telling us that we had an NBC exercise. It means that we have to wear all day chemical suits. The one with the gas mask and everything. I was really upset and exhausted because I wasn't able to sleep with that thing on, and sleep was my only reward for the 12-hour watch. Well, I get out of this tent. And I saw this thing that still scares me to this day. I see a woman standing next to the antenna. She wasn't moving. She was just standing there, meters from my tent. I couldn't see her face because of the sun starting to rise behind her. I knew she's a woman because she had really long hair. Remember that we're in the middle of nowhere and she's standing there, not moving like she's frozen. I start to freak out and call the other guy to see what I'm looking at. I don't know why, but he wasn't scared at all, and he told her to leave. But she didn't. She just stood there staring at us. I was confused. How could a woman ignore two soldiers in a forbidden area? I mean, we're in Switzerland. The army's not that impressive, I know, but people usually don't do this kind of thing. They would just move away, especially when it's 6 in the morning. And what she's doing in the middle of nowhere is beyond me, not dressed for cold climate. How long was she there, and how did she get there? I don't even see any footsteps. So, there's so many questions running through my head. The other soldier didn't think twice and starts walking towards her. When he almost reaches her, she starts running very fast into the forest. I see her going deep into the forest and I never see her again. I'm a really rational thinker, but I have absolutely no explanation for this. Thank God there was someone there with me because nobody would have believed me if it was just me there at that time. My father told me a story many times when I was growing up of something that happened to him. I know he believes it to be true, and he's not a very superstitious person whatsoever.